Welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here a week in. It's the it's definitely political season here in the UK. We've got no end of politicians taking to Twitter because apparently this election will be decided on social media, and they post something up and all they get is a string of replies that essentially wind up to twat. So bad luck. And in America, of course, it's political season because there's an election coming on this year, and I noticed that an awful lot of Republicans, politicians, are giving theological blowjobs to churches around the Midwest this week. So there's plenty to talk about off the tech field, but on the tech field, we've got a crazy bunch this week. Absolutely brilliant. Joining us for the first time in I don't know how long, Gasmas.
Good evening.
Where the bloody hell you been, mate?
I know. With the last two or three shows, it's clashed with things going on at work, or it's clashed with rugby executive meetings. Yes, the most exciting that I could go to. And it just clashed, and I've not been able to make it. And I've spat and stamped for not helped. I've just missed them, I'm afraid. But I'm here now.
You're here now, mate, and I hope you have a rooster of a story for us. Jeffrey, how have you been?
I've been doing really well, and I'm so glad I'm here because I have missed you.
How was the birthday party for the one-year-old?
It was fantastic, and I learned something, which is that a children's museum isn't just a museum with like really short displays and dioramas for kids to look at. It's like the coolest amusement park adventure for kids ever.
Yeah, museums have got a lot better, haven't they?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And trying to teach a one-year-old how to blow out a candle, absolutely fantastic. Awesome. Everyone should try and do it sometime.
Why, were they intent on lighting the place up or something?
Well, that's how I roll.
No, I remember when I was...
You give them the Heimlich maneuver, that'll help them blow the candle.
Look!
Oh, I wish I had known. That would have made things so much easier.
when I was a kid, if you went to a museum, if you took your hands from behind your back, you got thrown out. It was like, you bloke, ex-sergeant major, you piss off. I remember going.
Yeah, that wasn't the experience we had.
I went to an art museum during the school holidays. I was about 13, and my mum and dad let me get the bus into town. I went to the galleries, a couple of the galleries that were in Birmingham, and we got thrown out of one. With two boys going in to a gallery, me and Simon Wells, and they looked at us like, no, didn't compute that there was two boys going to a gallery in their school holiday. Beneath Jeffrey, it's Doc Rock.
Hey everybody, it's good to be on the show. How's it going?
It's all right, mate. How are you enjoying your Apple Watch?
I'm loving it. I was trying to avoid that topic for you, but since you opened that can of worms,
no, we're not discussing it. I'm just asking if you're enjoying it, man.
Tomorrow.
I get one tomorrow, so by the time it gets to the Mac show, I'll have one. And last but by no means least, our man in Norfolk, our East Anglian reporter, the man that tips over the edge of the Norfolk Broads to give us the tech from the East. It's righty boy.
Oh, bloody hell, mate. Are you right?
That like a build-up, dude.
That's not bad, as it, but all that East stuff.
Doesn't work well. Director of social media.
I'm trying really hard.
You're doing brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. What's been going on for you this week?
Oh, new staff, new buildings, all this sort of stuff. But I go on holiday tomorrow, so I don't care.
Now, you had Robert Downey Jr. at your place, didn't you?
We did, yes. Apparently, I'll find out where it is now. Apparently, it's the final scene of the new Avengers film. It's filmed where I work. And I sat there and watched them film it and got told off so many times by security for taking photographs. But I know what happens at the end.
Is that because they needed a desolate landscape?
Shut it. It's a
that's the difference between UK security and US security. You know, in photographs, and they keep telling you, hey, don't take photographs, or we're going to tell you again, don't take photographs. And in the United States... they'll just punch you, knock you to the ground, and explode, and then say, hey, don't take photographs.
Yeah, no.
Well, they came up to us, and they were like, delete that photo now. And I'm like, okay, it's gone up to iCloud, so I don't care.
Yeah, of course it won't delete it, will it? So you're laughing.
Yeah, so we're like, yeah, I'll delete that, fine. Yep. Idiots.
Right, no problem, mate. I'm head of IT. Don't you think I've got a contingency?
Exactly.
Did you see the interview, the Channel 4 interview with Robert Downey Jr. by Krishna Guru Murphy?
Disgusting.
I thought, what a wanker. Not Robert. I thought Krishna Guru. Yeah. I've got to say, I've always had a very low opinion of KGM, and I only thought he was a wanker up until that interview. I didn't know it. Oh, man. What a tosspot. If you haven't seen it, just Google Channel 4 Krishna Guru Murphy interview with Robert Downey Jr. because it is the worst piece of journalism I've ever seen in my life. Jeremy Clarkson would have been sacked for it. If he'd have punched him, he'd probably done a better job. It was absolutely disgusting. Batwinch, thank you very much. They've put a link in the chat room, and I'm sure they will agree. Yeah. The Week in Tech, what have we had, what have we done, what have we seen, what takes our fancy and we think is the biggest story of the week?
Ooh.
I got one.
Okay.
Right. It only happened just a little bit ago. If you
Stick your links in the chat room, good and early, chaps, and I'll get it sorted.
Stick it in the chat room, good and early, chaps. Okay, got it. If you happen to be up watching that 3-hour build conference, one of the craziest things that came out of there, and I'm sure there are a lot of that really works as well as the demonstration did. Basically, in the new version of, God, I'm going to mess this up. Not Azure. What the heck do they call it? Not .NET. The building kit that Microsoft uses that escapes my brain right now. You can take your
Azure.
Huh?
Azure.
Yeah, no, I said Azure, but it's not Azure. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Anyway.
Well, I'll help you because I was going to bring this as well. It's Visual Studio.
Visual Studio. That's where I was going. Holy crap. Anyways, you could take coded application and throw it into Visual Studio, and with just a tiny bit of massaging, you could spit out a Microsoft mobile app ready to rock. And that's one of the myriad things that they show with Visual Studio. But to me, I think it's the one with the greatest impact because there are a crap ton of people that have Windows mobile devices that as soon as any new app comes out, one of the first comments is, hey, when is the one for Windows Mobile coming out? or a Win Phone or whatever the heck they change the name to every 6 months. And I just thought that was really, really cool. Just amazing in itself. And also the ability to basically take applications and put them into, say, your standard office environment. One thing was able to get an Uber vendor Birmingham, in the middle of your PowerPoint or in the middle of Word. I thought that was kind of cool.
Now, I'm right in saying that you can't, this isn't just a case of lift and separate and drop it down into a Windows
but
smooths the process, yeah.
Yeah, well, smooths it out a lot. It's like taking a laxative.
I'm sure that old Sachin Tendulkar will love that.
Such a Nutella. You know the brown stuff with the toast?
Yeah,
such it. A Nutella.
Oh, aye. Bit of a whistle. So someone was going to say something then before I clipped in. I mean, go on, righty talk.
Well, yeah, well, obviously, talk speak to the pod punt on this one, but yes, in Visual Studio, there is a little bit of tweaking, but you can import the Objective-C code into Windows. Well, Android apps, Microsoft say they've actually built an Android subsystem into Windows and Windows Phone, and basically, Android apps will basically port almost automatically using Java engine and things straight to Windows Phone. So it's more the Android kind of community that are building the apps that they put onto Windows Phone. The question I have is, may they develop more apps for Android that will port to Windows Phone because it's easier? The problem with Windows Phone is the operating system is amazing. You know, I've got a Windows Phone. Great. The one thing that lets us down is apps, and they've now bent over backwards.
Is that still the case? I mean, okay, it's less than, but is it still letting it down, in inverted commas? I haven't missed anything on the Windows Phone, but, I mean, take a straw poll from you guys.
I just think it's the discoverability of apps, you know, just unusual apps and things like that. All the kind of primary ones are there. That's great. But the great thing about Android and iOS is that discoverability of you know, tonight I'm looking for a cool thing for the show. And I can get onto the App Store and I can go through the featured apps or the top charts and that sort of thing. You get really obscure little things. But if you go into the Windows Store, you don't get that. You get the top 10 app for the last 2 years, Facebook, Twitter, all of those sort of things. And they're missing that kind of that indie kind of funded thing, you know, things that you wouldn't normally think of. You can go just looking for apps. It's always the more obvious ones. Yeah. So I think that's what Windows has been missing. And I think this is huge for them, because if they can, you know, if iOS and Android developers can turn around and go, actually, without breaking a sweat, we can stick up Windows, they're good news because they get a third market. It's fantastic.
I mean, even if you pair most apps back, are they basically going back to Objective-C and it's just Cocoa interface on the front end for Mac and a bit of cool shiz on the front for Windows? I mean, do they all boil down fairly easy anyway? Is this really that sparkling, is what I'm saying? Is this really that?
Yeah. But the one thing I was thinking, though, because obviously Apple have got Swift now for developing apps. Did they see this coming and thought, actually, we need our own operating system so people can't, you know, we'll get people into Swift so they can't port apps back to other, you know, Android and Windows Phone?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't think that's why they did Swift. I think they did Swift because they wanted to create a development environment that was really optimized for the hardware and operating system.
Mm. Yeah. But obviously, it's only apps that are in Objective-C that can go back to the Windows. So Swift apps won't go. And will developers be willing to go? Because they're going, because what Microsoft are promising is, well, they're projecting 1 billion Windows 10 apps, Windows 10, you know, devices the next year. And that's huge.
Because obviously universal apps are, and it's wrong. They're not going to sell that many. but it's a great goal.
Well, I think you've got to be, you look at, I think the enterprise market is the thing, because that's evacuating the BlackBerry market rapidly. And a lot of there's a lot of bring your own phone stuff going on, but there is still an awful lot of firms wanting control. And I know there's large firms who have either got or are imminently getting Windows phones as their stock item across the whole of their business because of the enterprise interface. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a significant boost. I mean, you might be right. You know, that might be an ambitious figure, but I don't think it's not laughable ambition in that sense, perhaps, Jeff.
No, and you're because they are working really hard on enhancing the continuum part of it too. And then so from things like the Surface being able to just come in, plop on a mouse and keyboard, and then rescale the applications to make them work like desktop apps is a very, very big deal. It's got to be better than Handoff, which, as much as I love my iOS, I like to slap the out of Handoff a couple of times. You like how I self-edit that so you don't have to edit?
Yeah.
and so seeing things like, well, the demonstration of Continuum actually kind of working, we hope it's as good as it is when it actually comes out, is kind of big. And what that also does is, if you look at some of the larger, more powerful, even something like the 1020, if you're able to do Continuum with that, for the enterprise level, that's amazing, right? You know, remember back when AT&T and Verizon were trying to hawk that one thing that was a tablet, and you'd come in and you'd dock it, and it was made by Asus. It was a piece of crap, but it worked. But so many people bit that in hoping that it would work, because it is a very wanting and marvel concept, especially if you're in the enterprise. And the reason why I know this is when I go to B&W to take in my car, the guy has a Microsoft Surface tablet. Everything is in there. He's doing it. It's on his screen. He has the big screen. He's typing everything in. He's, you know, puts the key in the thing. It tells you all his data about the car. And he goes, okay, let's go out and get you ready for service. So he disconnects. Thank you for the Transformer reference, Cernak. So he goes out. He pulls it out. He goes out. When it comes back and I say, hey, you guys scratched my car, they won't say, oh, BS, no, we did it, which, of course, I don't have any scratches. My car is flawless. But, you know, they walk out and they check everything. And then he comes back and he docks it in. and he presses print, you sign, and he gives you your thing, and you're off. You know, a couple hours later, you pick your thing up. So watch it work in a function where it's amazingly well put together and almost seamless. And so I know there has to be a lot of enterprise opportunity out there for things like that, doctors, hospitals, pilots, like all of the above. So,
yeah. Okay. Jeff, you were going to come back on my point.
I don't remember what it was now. That's all right. It's all good.
It was. I got a Jeff bitch slap coming. So,
clearly, I got where it was.
Yeah, I know my place, mate. Some points in the chat room. Aren't Android apps meant to be available on W10 phone? Says Batwinch. Well, they don't just port straight across. So that's a no. I would have said. Objective-C is 25 years old, says Street Machine. Come on. Anthony F says, bet Google is going to chase their core programming now just to screw Microsoft. That may be true, though, you know. And Rare Black Magic says, Objective-C was getting old. Remember, it's a mutant born from Next Step and Apple. Swift is an attempt at streamlining OS X and iOS development together, so, which is a good point. And it was the Asus Transformer, says Serenac.
But there is one kind of barrier, though, because Windows Phone has a very specific for the design. So you can't write across because you have to have a certain look for Windows apps. So they would have to develop the Windows look on top of the flourishes they have for the current apps. Because you have to be in the Windows Store, you have to adhere to that design.
I think the other thing is the Windows Store as well, going back to your earlier point, right, is there's, and I think maybe this is probably true of the Google as well, that you wouldn't get in Apple's, is the fact that there's an awful lot of duplicated functionality from applications. So one app is copying another. And there's a lot of, you know, if you type in Google Chrome, you can't actually get Google Chrome, but you can get tons of applications, which you could inadvertently install, which look like Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Without reading the fine print very closely. Mr. Holtzman, so glad you could join us, mate.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How the devil are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. We've got no video from you, pal.
All right. I got to change my headphones and I'll see what's going on with this video. Oh, I know why I don't have video, because I didn't push this button. No?
He turns up late and he's still not ready.
It says what?
You turn up late and you're still not ready.
Well, wait a minute. It's not for 45 more minutes, isn't it?
No, the show started 40 minutes ago, mate.
I'm confused. Last time I was on it, wasn't it?
Well, it might have been that one show we might have pushed back, but the normal time's 8. So. You're here now!
I'm so confused.
It's late.
It's okay, mate.
And how's the DJ mode rocking the one-sided headphone? I do that on the weekends.
Yeah.
like that?
No, I mean, excellent story.
My other headphones that aren't so big.
We're talking Microsoft 10, Carrie.
What's that?
We brought Doc started us off with a story about Microsoft 10 and the interoperability of the system with Android apps being able to be ported onto Windows 10. Jeff made a statement about 1 billion, there was a statement made about 1 billion 10. Windows 10 apps that Jeff... said didn't think so, and Deep Pan's come back with 1 billion Windows 10 devices doesn't seem that far of a reach if you think of phone, tablet, PC, and Xbox. So
you know what scares me, there's really two sides to this. Growing up when the computers were, you know, Commodore 64s and VIC 20s and Ataris and Apples, none of the systems were compatible, and so everything recoded for each platform. So when everybody's on the same platform, that makes life a lot simpler, but it also makes life a lot harder for scam artists. And, you know, my concern is the security. When everybody's using the same operating system, it's just a huge payday for the scam artists, because all they have to do is exploit this one particular product and have most of the world at their fingertips for identity theft, credit card theft, etc. So I'd like to see another company come out and actually be paired with Microsoft, and maybe even another one after that. I mean, think about it. If we all drove the same car, there was no difference between one car and another. Once you learned how to break open the locks, you could steal any car you want. But we have so many choices and variety. We have what's called security through obscurity. Apple users would know that term.
Yeah, but I think...
But there's so few of them. You understand what I'm saying?
There's no unification of the OS here, and there are changes to the code in order to get it into Windows 10. It's not a straight port across. So some of that security should be unique in that area.
Well, let's just underline the word that you just said, should.
Yeah, no, I mean, you need to read the story and come to the conversation on time, really.
No, but I'm just saying that it concerns me when everybody's using the same operating system, regardless of how good security is. Whatever the security is can always be broken. Well, and the more people that are using it, the more incentive there is to break it.
But it's not the same operating system, so that's fine. It's okay.
Okay. Okay. I hear you.
Yeah. All right, mate. Glad you could join us. Thanks very much.
I'm sorry I'm late.
It's okay, pal. But we take the piss out of you.
That's fine. There's plenty to take.
Mercilessly. Gaz, what did you bring for us, sir?
Right, well, you know me. I don't normally bring the normal stuff, so I've just the chat room. Obviously, it's the sort of tech which I come up with now and again. Self-aiming bullets. I think it's almost like a missile coming out of your gun. Apparently, this company over in the US have created, I think the company is called Exacto, and they've come up with basically a guided bullet which is aimed at snipers. And of course, now it's self-guided. Once you just got your target, you pull the trigger and let the bullet do the rest. So anybody could basically use these particular guns with these particular bullets in, and hey presto. There's a video there which shows, it's not that clear, but there is a video there which shows the guided bullet and the moving target. It's a high-speed, obviously, camera. But what concerns me is if you go further down, this same company is also producing some robotic creatures. So if this company combines those robots with these guns and these bullets, then... Terminator, here we come.
Well, now they've been doing this with artillery shells for quite a while, because I remember watching a program on Discovery about future weaponry, and it was they got this guy, this one where they basically aimed it, they acquired a target, and the shell had a GPS receiver in it, and it had fins on it which would rotate to curve it. And they pointed this thing like 25 degrees off target and shot it, and it hit the target dead on, absolutely dead on. And they were saying that the military use for this would be if you got a target that was in a built-up area and you had a line of sight in from a different angle from the one that you were stationed at, you could send this thing out and it would go around the corner effectively and come and hit the target. So they've been doing this, but they've obviously got GPS to such a fine degree now that they can stick it in an actual.
Yeah, this is a 0.5 caliber, so I don't know what size that one that you was talking about, but I mean, it's, you know, this and obviously you're self-propelled, so I just think this tech is just going too far, fellas.
Has anybody else seen? It's not clear. The company that's designed these bullets, is it Boston Dynamics? Are the robots tossed in here just for shock value?
I think it might well be, because they've actually done it for the Defense Advanced Research Project, which is DARPA, apparently.
So, all right. So asking specifically because Boston Dynamics is the company that Google bought. So, So if Google is working on military robots, which is one of the Dynamics was working on when Google bought them, and now they're working on self-aiming bullets. That's quite a combination for Google. Does that put Google?
How does that sit with do no harm?
Yes.
First, do no harm, Sergey. Talk me through that one.
Yeah.
It might not be them, but just Jeff's only speculating here, because we don't want to get sued by Google. Holy shit. But if it's true, then I don't think that sits well with do no harm. The chat room.
I was just going to say, in The Fifth Element, they had the Zorg ZF-1 pod weapon, and when he shot it, every bullet would go to the same place, and Gary Oldman demonstrated it.
When he pointed it forwards and it went all backwards. Yeah. There we go.
One shot, but a single shot will go to the same location.
That's it, yeah.
It
is fairly sad, Carrie, that you know the identification number of that gun.
What, the AKS-74U?
No, I think it's pretty awesome that you
remember again. The chat room, I'll tell you what, my chat room absolutely makes my jaw drop. Like, the insight they come out with.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
There's a line in here, there's a big dog barking. Really? No shit, Bookery. Thanks, man. Just in case.
Saranac says 50 caliber is more like a cannon shell, so that could be similar to the one you were talking about, although this doesn't seem to have any fins on it.
I have a mock round. It's not a real one, it's an empty one, but I have a 50 caliber round up here, which
50 caliber is really big.
Yeah, I've shot a Barrett. I can't tell you when I shot a Barrett, but I shot a Barrett once, and it's big, and it hurt quite a lot. I had a bruise on my shoulder afterwards.
Yeah, he did. Well, you know, it's funny to watch where this is
going. Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, Carrie's got a 50 caliber. Because, of course, why would Carrie not have a 50 caliber bullet right next to the desk?
Every time you guys talk about something on the show, I have it right here on my desk. It's like we planned it.
Yes.
That is the joint.
When I was right? Last time it was Douglas Spotted Eagle before they said it. I'm like, it's right here. Got it right here.
Thank you for the link, Carrie. Sorry.
The Native Indian album, and now he's got a 50 caliber bullet. There you go. That is a 50 caliber bullet. It is. To be fair, that's a complete round. The actual saber is only the bit at the front.
Yes.
So, but it still does enough damage. It'll go through cinder block walls, and kill what's on the other side as well. So.
So obviously, what this does is. Is hitting target as well. It doesn't, you know, that's the thing. So I just incredible.
There's a fairly big casing there to put a GPS in and some fins to help it steer and all that kind of stuff. And to be fair as well, we're not talking about the kind of maneuverability that Gary Oldman was talking about. We're talking about a gentle curve. I mean, it's,
well, yes, because a bullet travels much too quickly to have much.
Yeah, I mean, this will probably just kind of a 10 degree swing or something like that, the speed that it travels. But, you know, that could be enough to make a difference at quite a distance.
Well, that's quicker than I can run, probably, the speed of that bullet heading.
Yeah. I saw a thing the other day that there was, I think it was about Wednesday or Thursday last week, that there's a British sniper broke the record for the world's furthest confirmed kill in Helmand Province. And it was like 1.7 miles.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's just
like, crazy.
It's like, forget the thousand. I mean,
most people can't hit a target at 20 feet.
Yeah.
That's actually almost a half a mile longer than American Sniper.
Yeah.
0.25.
But it's some stupid distance. It's 2.7 kilometers or something. It's just stupid.
What you have to understand in the culture of in that part of the country is, you know, when you attack them with drones and you attack them with machines, I'm sorry, something just started.
You started.
The psychological damage that that causes to them, because they realize when they're hit by a sniper that they were bested by another man. They weren't bested by a piece of technology, you know, that the United States is known for. That was man against man. And psychologically, that really frightens them. So that's really our upper hand in the whole war situation, is the psychological damage that has on that culture is very effective.
Cool. Not that we want to talk about killing people. That's not what we do. But
speak for yourself.
We got no, Carrie.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I don't want my show used in evidence against you when you go and level a mall in Arizona somewhere.
Again?
Again, yeah.
Absolutely. Again. Yeah, those malls are expensive. Pick like a flea market or something.
Mr. Holtzman, can you justify why you have a 50 caliber weapon? Well, they wouldn't sell me the bigger one.
Well, take a look at this.
It doesn't.
I don't have a weapon. I just have the bullet.
It doesn't. It's not
because it's just. It sits on my desk. You know, some people put little tchotchkes on their desk here, right here.
I'm not. Here you go. I've got a Duracell on my desk. There you go. That is a lot.
Well, one of these days, I'll meet somebody with a 50 caliber who's going to let me shoot it, and I go, "Hey, I got my own bullet. It's loaded. You can hear the powder in it. There's a lot of gunpowder in there."
Yes, there is. Okay.
Did you hear it?
The coppery part at the end. The whole thing together is called a cartridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the whole thing together is called...
When you get to see the gun and they say, here, I've got some ammo, and you say, no, I brought my own cartridge. And no.
Well, actually, yeah,
you've got the...
Since we're going to go there in the Army, I can't stand up to show you, but the drill sergeant would never allow our weapon a gun. He'd be like, this is my weapon, this is my gun, this one's for killing, this one's for fun.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And you don't put a clip into your weapon. You put a magazine.
Not unless you're firing an M1 Garand, then you put a clip in it.
Right. Listen, this is getting way too techie on guns. Did you see the tweet today about how to smuggle candy into American cinemas?
I did not.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I can only imagine.
It was a guy holding a 9mm Glock, and he's shoving a Snickers bar in where the
bullet. Oh, my God. Yeah, that would totally work.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know what? I haven't really seen much enforcement on bringing candy in. We're blatant about it these days. Like, I got a big old bag. I'm going in with a bag in the movie theater.
Yeah, try and stop
it's
me.
Filled with everything I got at the department store across the street.
So, Gaz, have you got? I mean, let's try and keep this away from killing and murder. Is there an application in the civilian world where you think this would apply?
Let me think about that for a minute.
Come back at the end. There we go. Well, and whatever it is, we'll make it your cool thing.
I know. Getting rid of your Uber taxi driver. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. I can't find one as it is.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It's worked. It totally makes sense now.
Jeffrey, did you bring us a story?
Of course I did. And this is a first for me. I'm bringing a story about Microsoft. Whoa. So, I know. I'm glad everyone's sitting down. And this is actually pretty cool. They showed off a new technology called HoloLens, and it uses their virtual reality goggles and stuff to let you essentially take the computer interfaces that you're using on all your devices already and just take them with you wherever you go. And it's smart enough so that, you know, you're doing like the Matrix, no, not Matrix, what was Minority. The one where they had the precogs? Minority Anyhow, where you do the this stuff and you're
Minority Report
interface elements around Minority Report, yes. And so then you can throw like a display for something up on a wall, and it's smart for when you leave the room and come back still let you see it. And what they showed off, that the whole face mask thing that they're wearing in the demo, clearly this is not something for public purchase yet, because everything's just way too big. But the idea of having a way where you can create your own VR environment everywhere you are and have it smart enough so that you can have components of that scattered around and they just stay where you left them, that's pretty cool. And I do have a link for a video, so I will drop that into the chat.
Yeah, I mean, one of the Gizmodo things has got some early prototypes listed here, and I'm willing to stand corrected here, but there's a bit. I've seen a couple of tweets where people are going, oh, this Microsoft HoloLens, oh, it's just incredible, it's fantastic, it's great, and I'm kind of like, all I've seen so far is like a drawing. I think it's a great proof of concept. I haven't even seen anyone. I
wouldn't want to put this on my head today.
Well, no, but have you actually seen anyone doing it? Because that's my point, is they've gone on about the lens, and we've had the VR thing, and we've got at the moment, as a kind of baseline of the bleeding edge of the technology, we've got the thing that Facebook bought? What's it called? Oculus Rift.
Our soul?
Oculus, yeah, okay, that too. Oculus Rift. So... But no one has shown me anyone with this thing on their head who's actually doing anything that it purports to actually do. And everyone's raving about it and going, oh, it's cool. Yeah, great. But it's still vaporware. I mean, it is a long way away from being anything other than vaporware.
It's a long way. But it shows where we could potentially go. And it's cool in that it shows Microsoft displaying some true innovation, which a lot of people would argue Microsoft hasn't done for a long time. But I love this where they're looking at stuff, where they're thinking outside the box and looking at how we might want to interact with our technology in the future.
The thing about that is that's what they're thinking out of the Xbox. The thing about that is every since Minority Report came out, like, it seems that every tech person in the planet has been sitting around waiting for the day that this was going to happen, because it was closer to some of, like, the communicator. Like, we all waited for the day where the communicator would happen. And then the Motorola StarTech came out, and we got excited, and it got better and better and better. And it took us a while, but today we have iPhone and Android and Windows Phone. So we're there. But I do feel that this is going to be harder, and it's something that I know that's the top of my list besides, you know, self-driving car, flying cars, the whole Minority Report style HoloLens is something that I've been looking forward to for quite a long time. But I'm going to agree with Ewing. Since everyone's been talking about this over the last couple of years between Oculus Rift and Google Glass and all these other things, nothing really worth a damn has come out. And it's, if they're going to show it, let's bring it a lot closer. Like, don't talk about it just so you can have something to talk about at the conference, which is, I don't know, showing off before it actually gets there kind of thing. And then now, like, Luxottica just bought Google Glass. They're going to bring the glass holes back in the fray. It's too early. It's too early. But I definitely still keep my fingers crossed. I'm not poo-pooing it completely, but I'm Courier. Show me that.
That's all I want to say. Yes, I'm looking forward to the next phase. When we get to the point where we've taken all of these... I'll call Google Glass an experiment, because that's all it really is. And what Microsoft is doing with HoloLens and what other, and then Oculus Rift and whatever else other companies start playing around with. And they take it from where it is right now, which is, well, what if we did this? And I think this technology is in the brainstorming phase still.
Yes.
And once we get to the point where it's like, oh, wait, let's try this and then something really clicks and starts working, then the ball's really rolling, and we'll find ways to use these technologies in ways that really enhance our lives, as opposed to just becoming a big birth control goggle that we strap to our face.
Right, and Rare Black Magic is 100% correct. The reason why these guys do these proof of concepts at conferences is the same reason why the automakers have been doing concept cars forever. It is designed to attract the CVs or the resumes for the Americans out there, so that the top guys coming out of MIT or whatever is will want to come and work with them in order to forward other technologies. And a lot of times those guys get moved into other projects that do work into things that come into fruition. So I think a lot of it is sort of a phallus measuring exercise between companies, but it's also to attract, you know, the next up and coming talent.
Gaz, did you have something to say?
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be so restricted. It's going to be business or medical. I just can't see it becoming a widespread. Acceptance is going to be the biggest key here. So it's definitely going to be, I think, fairly restrictive. You're not going to see this in everyday walk of life. I mean,
Google Glass certainly not for a long time.
I think Google Glass is an example of that. People just did not accept people being able to see, do, connect with things which you weren't aware of what they were doing. And I think that's the biggest issue. But for design work, for possibly medical stuff, when you're obviously, you've got a surgeon doing something, then, yeah, I fully understand that.
Yeah, I mean, my only point with this is are we any further on than we were when we just had Tom Cruise stood on a screen saying, I can do this? Because until I see someone actually hold a hand out, and even just a TV monitor, that when he moves or she moves their hand, something moves with it when they've got something on their face, then I'll go, holy crap, that was cool. But all we've seen so far is 3D mock-ups and a bit of green screen. And that's not enough for everyone to go, ooh, wow. The other thing that I thought about while you were talking there was, could the reason that Microsoft is outing this so early in the fact that it's just absolutely nowhere near past vaporware, something to do with patents?
Well,
probably not, because if they already have patents, then they've got the patents.
Yeah.
But if they went to flaunt their patents, sure, this could be a way to do that.
Well, I always go back to the elastic thing with Apple, and they invalidated their own patent by. Like, do you remember the elastic thing where you?
Oh yeah, the whole rubber band, snapback
thing from the original iPhone. They hadn't patented that. They showed it when they launched the iPhone on the day of launch, and then they patented it, and the patent was refused, and it was left open because they'd got prior art, which they'd done themselves, which was the real anomaly of it. So I don't know where...
Yeah, that shows you how screwed up our patent system is.
Yeah, no, because they'd shown it, they couldn't then patent it afterwards. They had to patent first and then show it. And I don't... I just... There's something with this that makes me think, why would... I can't understand why Microsoft are making such a fuss about it when they haven't got anywhere near it, and I can't understand why tech journalists are going, this is really cool, when Microsoft are nowhere near this actually working.
The thing that has me excited about this isn't that I think Microsoft is going to roll out a consumer product next year, because they're not. What has me excited about this is when I look at this, I'm going, great. We are seeing things that tell me this is not Steve Ballmer's Microsoft anymore. This is a new Microsoft where they're thinking about the future of the company, and they're thinking about innovative ways to invent new technologies. And it isn't all about how do we lock people into Windows.
Yeah, no.
That's a huge thing right there.
The one thing I will say is I watched just as a slight defense and devil's advocate a little bit to that, is that I watched a video that was done by Microsoft Research, and I'm going back 5 years, 4 years now, and these guys were classic R&D areas. They'd got stuff that you would just think, well, I can't see how that would apply, but they got a way of projecting a hologram through two pieces of glass so that it virtually appeared in front of you. You couldn't.
That's pretty cool.
And it was like, you know, it was almost like a hologram that you could nearly interact with. So that would have led on to the HoloLens stuff. And they were doing that 4 or 5 years ago, which would have been under the Ballmer regime. So I know Microsoft Research has been, you know, it's classic egghead stuff that has been going on from the beginning. So just you know, to try and be fair, I suppose.
To talk about the patent thing, I'm late. I don't know. Maybe you guys talked about it. 8th to May 22nd, Google's offering to buy patents from folks who don't have big budgets like big corporations to keep them away from the patent trolls. Because here in the U.S., the patent system isn't just broken, it's abused. They handicap inventors, they redirect company resources towards pointless and lengthy litigation. So Google's got this idea for fixing this mess called the Patent Purchase Program. And basically, they'll have a marketplace where folks who have patents are willing to sell them, that they themselves set the price, the seller, and Google is interested in purchasing their patents by June 26, with most payments happening by late August. And then you don't have to worry about some patent troll either grabbing your patent and using it like they were doing with podcasting, going after podcasters. The big deep pockets ones are the ones they thought had deep pockets, trying to say, hey, I patented podcasting, you know, the idea of recording audio and putting it on a computer for digital transmission, even though they never invented anything. And they go after all of the deep pockets and say, you can spend $1.5 million in litigation or give us $250,000 and we'll go away. And this really rubbed Adam Carolla the wrong way, and he went after him lock, stock, and barrel. And it's a real problem. But it's interesting that Google is using this excuse to buy your patent to keep it away from the trolls. I'm sure there's got to be another reason they want.
Oh, no, I'm sure the economic value is not lost on anyone. But if you're going to lose it anyway, you might as well sell it at a cut price to Google. I've got no issue with that. It's a buyer's market, isn't it? Chat room is coming in with some optional uses for civilian uses for Gaz's bullets. steerable bullets chase down anti-vaxxers with flying vaccine inoculations, says Bookery.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. There's Bookery mentions something about a talking phallus as well, which I don't get what the reference is to that with it, but fair enough. That might be something completely different. Shooting down bloody drones, says Windrider. Thanks very much, Pete, mate. Always positive from your thing. And and penis rockets or cock rockets has also come out in the chat room as well. And I've got to say, I spent a number of years being guided by my penis, and it didn't get me in any good place at all anyway. So so that's bad idea. I'm not going with that one. Righty!
Maybe you had the wrong docking mechanism.
Righty's shaking his head like he disapproves of me.
No, I've thought that I was going to do tonight already.
Have you even got a story?
But I'm not going to make it the Microsoft suit, or am I? But just...
we're going to get the latest sales down at the local market in Norwich. Is Righty's next story.
No, but just on a quick one of the Microsoft thing for me is they are throwing everything at the wall. It's going to be too much too soon. But the one thing that we have seen is they are so much more open to being on other platforms. Because, you know, even with Windows 10, you've got it on Raspberry Pi and things like that. And on my iPhone, I used to have a lot of Google apps, but I've got a hell of a lot of Microsoft apps on there now. And I think their vision isn't... Because I watched the keynote yesterday, and they don't really concentrate on Windows that much anymore. Much more of a services-driven company more than they ever were, because the old Microsoft was, you'll have Windows, you'll have Office, you'll do this and do that. But, you know, the Office version of... the iPad version of Office is great. The Android and iOS version of Outlook is great. And they're finally kind of reaching out to people. And getting their money through different pockets, because obviously they're giving Windows 10 away free, and the way they make their money is through enterprise organizations like my own, where we pay them a lot of money. But people are coming on to more and more Microsoft things, and more people are picking up Windows phones. So I think they're kind of getting more into the mindset of people. So I think the fact that they're actually trying more and more things,
so you think
the HoloLens, it's kind of... This is amazing, but it makes the headlines, but it makes people look at them a bit more.
So you're thinking that they're showing all this cool shiz, hoping to sell the current products because this is where it could go.
Yeah, and I think okay. They're trying to get themselves in the mindset again, because, you know, we have this conversation at work is people want Apple stuff because it's shiny and it's great and it does all this sort of stuff, and we can do shiny stuff as well. We can do amazing things, and I think they're literally trying to throw everything at the wall all in one go, hoping that one that sticks in people's minds and goes, do you know what? I might give them a go again.
Yeah, that's fair call. Yeah, I think that's probably true. That wouldn't link in with the pattern thing that we were talking about, but it would be a reason to do it now when it wasn't complete. Rareback Magic's jumping in saying, yeah, the podcasting trolls, they really rile me. So there's a guy out there who reckons he's patented episodic natured podcast, which is why we don't say episodes, because we're not episodic. And Rare Black Magic says also, Carrie, the judiciary has no tech literacy as well, which is why the patent system is so badly screwed. Which I think I couldn't disagree with. Well done. Right, it's down to Righty and Carrie. Who's brought the story that they want to go next with? Righty, have you got a story left?
Well, that was kind of my story going, you know.
All right, just to reinforce the other two stories, yeah. No, yeah. I think that's fair. I think there's some good points there.
And I thought with Sony coming back and starting to make a profit again.
Yeah, there was a tweet today I noticed from a guy who said, I think it's about time Sony stopped making phones. I clicked on that.
Wait a minute, Sony makes phones?
thank you, our man in the Amish, Gary Holtzman. So talking of you, Gary, brother Amish, brother Holtzman, what have you brought for us? What's your tech story of the week?
Can I just tell you some of one of the dumbest pieces of tech I've ever seen? It's called an Alienware amplifier. So this hurts my head. You know, you can take a hard drive and put it in an external enclosure and use it as an external hard drive. Yes.
Yeah.
What if you could do that with a video card? So let's get you the lightest, fastest laptop that you can have portable, but it sucks at games. And we'll take a GTX 980 full size, stick it in a box like a hard drive, an external box, throw some fans around it, plug an external power supply into it. And the box, by the way, is three times as big and three times as heavy as your laptop, but you can take it with your laptop so that you can play your games with your external X980 video card. It may be the dumbest single piece of technology I've ever seen in my life. I mean, if you want a game like that, buy a desktop. You could buy a mini ITX. It'd be much more portable than this. But they're effectively taking the video card and putting it outside of the laptop and making it so you can plug it in and unplug it as needed. And it'd be fine if it was something in your pocket. But this thing's huge.
Well, to be fair, I mean, there is... then I've got to say, because the one thing that's always critical of Alienware is it's expensive and usually fairly overpriced crap. It's not crap, it's good, but it's overpriced. And I expected this to be really horrific. And the low-end version is £156, and the higher-end version is £256, which is not Alienware-like, you have to say. Does it actually work? There's the first question.
Yeah. You know, they've got it even with a Titan X. It's got some problems. Setting up the drivers can be an issue.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the box itself is like $300, and then you still have to pay for the video card, if I understand correctly.
Oh, right. So this is just got an enclosure
a proprietary
vehicle,
of course.
So you're buying a dumb enclosure with fans, and you have to buy your 2 gig, 4 gig, 8 gig.
That's my understanding, and then the cable itself can only carry data at times 4 PCI Express Gen 3 data rates. That's about a second, or gigabytes per second.
Right.
Okay. For comparison, a standard GPU connection on a desktop is a full 16-speed Gen 3 connection, which carries about 16 gigabytes a second. And that leads concerns over the bandwidth capability of the amplifier, the actual performance you give up by throttling the GPU. And so I don't know. I just think if you're the whole point of a laptop is to be portable. That's right. Isn't that the point of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So why not make lead weights for balloons? I don't understand why anybody would want to cart around a big heavy thing that's basically 4 or 5 bricks along with your laptop, along with the cables and the power, external power cable that all has to get plugged in. For you to play your game.
What's actually funny about this, and I don't know if you and if you recall this or not, but Sonnet Technologies and also Mac Sales on OWC, OWC or MacSales.com has been selling a device called the Helios for going on about 4 years. Sonnet Technologies is even older than that, has been out about 6 years, and they have an expansion chassis that runs off the Thunderbolt bus. The Helios has been upgraded to run off the new Thunderbolt 2 bus. So this idea of doing this has been around for almost 6-7 years, but the primary focus in the Mac space wasn't targeted at gamers. It was targeted at DITs or video professionals. So I have used the technology before in the field on a film shoot, and we got several Reds coming back, and they bring you the little drives. We had a Kona card, which is a video specific compression card made for a high-end video HD. And you put the Kona IO card in this expansion chassis, you put the cards in, and we're able to transcode the video fast enough to get it off to the director, who's in a whole different place, like looking at the footage, but we're keeping the raw footage together so that they can later put it together for the, you know, the commercial. So this is not new technology, but it's funny that it's making its way into like the gaming space, and they've never been that expensive either. The technologies and the Helios, which is still available today, is only like $250 for the empty box, but you can put any card in it, and a lot of people were mixing it with Mac Minis or with laptops because you just working in a small environment or a mobile environment, and it's funny that, you know, they're trying to turn it into a gaming thing, but this is definitely not a expansion chassis has been around since Apple II.
So, I mean, you're looking for something here that's really when your application is GPU heavy rather than CPU heavy, like Final Cut might be or something.
Designed for so that way you could have a laptop because you're working out of a mobile vehicle, but you didn't have a place to plug in a Mac Pro per se. And then what they did was they shrank the Mac Pro and make it smaller. And there's literally DIT rigs right now with little trash can Mac Pros you know, rigged in, properly padded off in, what do you call those, Pelican cases. So you just open the lid and turn on the fan so it vents properly. But the latest seat around here has two Mac Pros in it, and it's pretty badass.
I mean, if you've got this thing with the Thunderbolt connection as well, that's going to up your transfer speeds.
Yeah, so but the PC has...
So Wii doesn't support the Thunderbolt connection anymore, right? It's found to be insecure. It's not as fast as they thought it was going to be, and they just dropped it. It's my understanding.
Have they dropped it completely? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Well, I understand there's some serious security concerns with it, and that's why USB 3.0 or 3.1 is what everybody's looking forward to. And Apple's been putting 3.1 ports now on their stuff instead of Thunderbolt.
Right.
Okay. But actually, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, because you know what I know about Apple. Well.
Say again, Jeff.
The only computer Apple has Never mind. I'm wrong. Just disregard what I said.
Okay, that's fine.
I was mixing up my ports.
That's okay. That's not a thing to do, really, is it?
Well, you know, it can be awkward at parties. After a few drinks, you might not care, though.
No, absolutely. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. How good are they? You can get loads of stuff from them. They have got they've got co-location services, VPS, VPN, simple domains, direct dedicated servers, there we go, and shared servers and all kinds of stuff, mate. So go check them out. Go to our website first, and britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and then you'll find UK2's link there, and you can go from that, or go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and that can go through as well, and they'll know that we've sent you. You need to go to the sponsors page if you want the offer codes, though. Please, please, please support them, and please, if you get a chance, tweet out and say thanks very much for supporting BTN. It makes all the difference. And also, their sister company, 100TB, sponsors this live feed, and it is just stunning. You heard, if you were listening to the live show beforehand, then Doc had his volume turned up, and you could nearly hear my voice in real time at his end of things, coming through from the live show. Everywhere in the world gets this 2 seconds after we broadcast it. It is absolutely awesome. And that's provided by 100tb.com. Dedicated servers start from $139 a month, and you're paying in dollars, so it's not like the UK2 stuff where you have to do the transfer and exchange rate bonanza. US listeners, get out there and get yourself a 100TB server, and you won't regret it, because they are blinding. And a quick thanks also to Wirecast for providing the switching services that we've got. Check out ScreenFlow if you want to know more about what they do. Now then, are you coming to the Bash? Because if you are, you need to get your ticket. Please go to Bash Tickets, britishtechnetwork.com/Bash Tickets, or just go to the website and to wait till you see a BTN banner. I think I have one prepared earlier. Here we go. If I click on that, there we go. There you go. That's a British Tech banner. When you get that, just click on it. Anything like that that says Bash, if you click on it, it'll take you to ticket sales. And let's get the URL while we're there. And you can buy your tickets. It's £10 for the curry, which is on the 3rd, and it's £20 for the Bash itself, which is on the 4th. We need to get numbers in within the next kind of 6 weeks, otherwise, you know, we can cancel the venue if we haven't got enough people. So if you're holding off and holding off and holding off till the last minute, there may not be a party if we don't get enough people. So please get your tickets done. We've had a good sale so far, but we still need a few more just to make sure we secure the venue. So please, please, please buy it now rather than later. And the other good thing is, yours truly has gone out and has put down for a new studio. I've got an apartment up the street which I've rented, and we're going to put the BTN studio in this apartment, and it will be our new home. We'll broadcast from there. All the live shows will go from there, and you can sit and watch and have fun. Now then, here's the best part. If you're in the Birmingham area when we're recording a live show and you want to be on the show, then there'll be a little viewing gallery. You can sit there and you can watch the show with us, and you can join in and take part and have fun. And it'll be a really good time. It really will be a good time. And if you're coming to the Bash, we're going to do a Mac show and a big show on the Thursday night and the Friday night as normal. So if you come to the Bash on Friday, get yourself up here in time for 3 o'clock start. You need to be about 2:30 really to make sure you get in. And you could sit in the room while we do the show and hurl abuse. There we go.
That sounds awesome.
So if you're coming over, you could be on the show, live in the studio, and by the time it gets to July, that is not going to be just a plastered wall. It will be decorated, it will be fine, it will be dandy, it will be luscious, and it will work smoothly-ish. Ish. You never can tell, eh? But there you go. Come to the bash. It's going to be awesome. Destiny Clan is with Batwinch as well, so look for her, and we'll put a link in the show notes. It's at the top, so if you want to join the Destiny Clan as well, go for it. I also want to have a shout-out to Dan Rodriguez. Thank you, Dan. Dan decided to take up our caricature offer, and Len Peralta has made his caricature, which he's now got with his Sticker Bomb artwork and his Sticker Bomb Twitter artwork, and he's also got his own banner up on the site, which will go into the basic rotation of them all. And he joins Anders and Arthur, who had theirs done last week. It's very kind of you. If you'd like a BTN caricature, Len will make one for you. It's $100. Len draws it, but what you also get is your Access All Areas pass. You get a banner of your choice. You can promote your own company. You can do anything you like with it. And Batwinch chose Batwinch's BTN podcast dream team. There you go. And so did Anders. He had his podcast dream team as well. So it was all up there, and it all looks fantastic. And thank you so much to the people that have done it, because it makes a superb donation to the network. It's all right. I've been thrown by Chris Campion, who's asked me what the Access All Areas Pass does. It's not what you're thinking, dude. No. Can you pick up the bass?
Why did you have me send those intimate photos?
No, there's no access to those areas, mate.
There's no VIP room?
Well, no, it depends how much you pay. Batwing says, can I pick up my pass at the bash? I've sent you your pass. You print it out and you laminate it yourself and then you bring it along. It doesn't get you in the bash free, mind. There we go. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, Gazmaz.
Right, well, I've actually got one for the Mac show, which I'm going to send you afterwards, which I'd like you to talk about if you can.
Well, you can do it here. You can do an Apple product on this show. It's not a problem.
It's not a product. I'll tell you what, let me do this one first and then the other one very quickly.
All right.
But bring that up on screen. It's more of a tip than a cool thingy. It's basically how to keep your cables tidy with a toilet roll.
Oh yeah, no.
And can I say, look, if you keep the video on me,
yeah.
Well, oh boy, am I looking forward to my next toilet run.
Excellent, mate. No, I took a picture of Paul Wheatley's. I need to finish that sentence quicker, don't I? Of Paul Wheatley's draw. That he showed me when I went for the Northern Bash. Yeah. And it was full of toilet rolls and cables stuffed in it. And I tweeted it out and said, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And loads of people went, oh, this changes everything. But that was like November last year.
Oh, well, I must have missed that. So
so yeah, I mean, the BBC have only just caught up.
You should have done a video.
Well, I tweeted it out. I've got the date. But
okay.
Click is a shit program. See, they're way behind.
Okay, let me quickly. Yeah, well, I mean, we're too close to Norfolk. Let me quickly.
Oi,
my life already. I'll quickly do the Macstock show then, conference, which is going on the 20th June this year in Chicago. It's actually on the same day and just before the Midwest Barbecue. Going over to that, get yourself over to this as well. It's being set up by actually a guy who got me into podcasting back in 2008, a guy called Mike Potter, who's got his own business, and he's decided, along with Barry, to do something about the fact that there's a disappearance of Macworld. So if you're here, get over there. I'm actually going over as well. I'm going to be there. I'm going for it.
Are you going for it? You're going for the Midwest Barbecue as well?
Yep. I'm also going to be meeting up with my podcasting colleague, which is Guy Searle, because he's going to be up there. There's going to be a number of podcasters going up there. So, yeah, get up. And it's to go to this, though, the conference. He's actually got a hall. He's got a great hall. If you look at the website, it surely is. I love the name, the fact that it's Macstock. It's near, I think it's Woodstock, Illinois, in Chicago, or near Chicago.
Oh, right, okay.
And he's got an all-day conference. He's got stuff going on. He's got the speakers set up. I think it's, if you're quick, you get it. May the 4th be with you. I think it's $59, and that includes lunch and includes a t-shirt as well. And there's a hall and a couple of breakout rooms that he's got set up.
Excellent. Dave Hamilton's talking. Chuck Joyner. Julie Keel's talking. Jean McDonald. Alison Sheridan. Guy Searle.
You set up shop.
Cool.
Should be good.
There we
should
go. Max Stock. Superb.
So let's make Mount.
We didn't get any of that. The audio broke.
Sorry,
up,
let's though. Make it the next Mac World.
Superb. Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Good pick. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Well, all right. I have, well, you're about to spend $200. That's what I have.
Oh, come on. Drop it in the chat room. Oh, yeah.
Okay, dropping this in the chat room right now. So on May 2nd, Lego is releasing a new that is just absolutely awesome. It's a TIE fighter that is incredibly detailed and includes a stand and a special Lego minifig that's not available anywhere else, a special TIE pilot. And the detail Lego put into their new special edition TIE fighter is just over the top amazing.
Okay, shut up and take my money.
See, told you. So it's $200, but it doesn't officially go on sale until the 2nd, so May 2nd, and they're doing it then because Lego always does a special May the 4th be with you event. They right. introduce new products and then have specials and stuff. So this is part of their whole May the 4th event, which starts on the 2nd. Hence, that's why the TIE Fighter gets released then. And oh my God, it looked
This is fairly large.
Yes, it ends. I think it's 18 inches tall.
It's 18 inches tall, 12 inches long. And 12.2 inches wide.
Yeah.
You know what bothers me about this is the new TIE fighters have white wings. So after you buy this one and then the new movie comes out, you have to get the matching one. You have to.
That's just brilliant.
Tipex.
This is going to sound the stupidest statement of all time, but it's life size for Lego figures. That's why it's so big.
Yeah, it's scale to Lego minifigs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for, scale. You can tell why he's a journalist, can't you? There we go.
Lego fan.
£169 if you want it in the UK store, or $199. So we're getting a bit... you got sales tax on top of that in the States, whereas we haven't. That's the VAT-inclusive price if you want it. Warning, choking hazards and small pants. Parts, sorry.
Small pants.
Good call. Wow. I like that, mate. I won't be 200 quid like that. Ellis isn't getting that. Doc, what have you got for us, pal?
So was that a Freudian mistake or a phallic mistake?
Small pants.
Oh, boom.
I think it was a cock-up.
Oh!
There you go.
Boom! Got him again. Okay, Ewan, I'm popping mine into the old... It's just apropos for us, and it's just kind of cool. So, meet Pinch, the smallest titanium tool with 11 plus functions. Actually, I've ever since doing a lot of video stuff and being out in the field, I'm kind of a big fan of titanium tools, and it's neat that it's just something that you see over and over again on Kickstarter, but people keep coming up with a way to make them a little bit cooler. And it's kind of like one of those things like what's the word I'm looking for? A Leatherman. Leatherman to me became actually useless after a while because it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's just ridiculously heavy. And most of what you need it for is a quick pry here and there, or a quick little screwdriver, or a way to like use it to do a tie off. And mostly I need it for locking tripod bottoms when I go plate on the end of a camera and you want to get a good snug fit. I'm always reaching for a coin and never really have it. And then some tripod plates don't work good with keys. Some do. So this kind of thing is amazing. It's not very expensive. It's made out of titanium. It's super, super strong. And I just think it's a cooler than most of the other ones that come out because they're just too big. And titanium is dope because it's lightweight. So you just pop this guy on your key, and every once in a while you're going to need a scraper, or you're going to need a bottle opener. You're going to need a little something you can use to tighten a tripod plate or whatever is in. It's just cool. But mostly I loved it because of the name.
Because, yes, actually, that's very, very good point, mate, that it's, of course, copies our own show. I've got to say, Doc, there's a hell of a leap going on here with some of these 11 tools. So it's... it's allegedly got, it says on it, I mean, this thing, I can't get the picture to work, but, I mean, here's my hand. This thing is about this long inside my hand, so it's about 2 inches long. And it's got a mini pry bar at one end. The idea of prying something open requires leverage, and 2 inches. There's no leverage in 2 inches.
That was my concern.
That's what she said.
Wait till you see him doing it, though. The funny part is, if you see him doing it on the thing, all he's doing is opening the can.
Exactly.
So you know when you got a paint can, and you just that doesn't really count, but. It's definitely better than going and look for a screwdriver.
He'd have had me if he'd have put paint can opener. I'd have said yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I kind of would probably give this guy the $20 just because it's called Pinch.
UK so. UK people will not want to buy this because, as of course, there is it's a quarter inch hex on the internal one, so it won't work.
See,
there's a 6mm wrench on it as well, but.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't see how you're going to rotate a hex with that because there's not enough leverage either.
And there's a one there's a 1-inch ruler. So
right.
It's no point. I mean, it's UK, forget it.
There you go. Well, they are doing a metric one also.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, well done. Good. Well spotted.
The guy's from Virginia, so he should know better. He should have done both. But yeah, if they got it, then that makes it better, Jeff. Oh, yeah, it does say early metric one. Hello, it's right there on the thing.
$22 really? Gets you a metric one with free domestic shipping in the US. So that means it's going to be about $900 to send it to the UK.
no, because he's doing free because it probably fits right in the mail.
I want to call out TrackR Bravo as well because they already have a product called the TrackR, and they've come out with this thing, the TrackR Bravo. And I subscribed to it as a Kickstarter last summer. And it was allegedly going to be delivered in January of this year. It is now April 30th. It is May tomorrow. I still don't have my TrackR Bravo, you wankers. Where is it? And they send me an email every week saying, we know you haven't got it yet, but we're doing some cool stuff. Shove your school stuff up your ass and send me my product, you bastards. Yeah.
In that order?
Don't hold back, Ewan. How do you really feel?
No, send me my products, and any that's left over, shove those up your ass. Righty. What have you got for us, mate?
Going back to Windows again. Basically, it was a good app called PCD Crapifier, which was great for cleaning up apps and uninstalling things. But the latest version leaves me a bit cold. It's got a bit too, I don't know, they got a bit too big for their boots. And it's rubbish now. So I've looked for an alternative. I'll put it in the chat room. There's a new app called Revo Uninstaller. And it's just great if you're a Windows user and you've got apps that haven't uninstalled cleanly or you just want to kind of look at what's running on your PC. It's just great to run that and just clean up. There's a free version that does most of what you want to do. There is a pro version that not a lot of money, but if you're a Windows user and you want to keep your system clean, it's a really, really good, better than the uninstall that Windows offers you. So worth checking out.
So
Mint here. I find it preposterous that somebody would download a piece of software whose purpose it is to install software, to keep software off their system, but putting software on their system. But there is a portable version of it, and that's the version I recommend people use.
Very true.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I've got Clean My Mac, which I've got to say I really quite enjoy because it helps you. If you want to install from the trash, sometimes you'll get files that it says they're in use somewhere. And this thing will identify where it is, close the app, and then get rid of it. If it's some obscure app that you didn't even know had got hold of it, and I had one last week where it had done it. And also, it's got a great uninstaller because it looks for all of those little files that get dotted around, and it takes all of those away as an uninstall function, which on the Mac is certainly, it's not as diligent in uninstall, I don't think, sometimes as even Windows can be with uninstaller. So I'll defend the idea of cleaning crap a little bit. Just as always, As we say, don't get Mac Keeper.
No, God.
Right.
And version 3 of Clean My Mac is the bee's knees.
I've got two. It's the Yeah, we're gonna. I'm gonna have a chat with them and see if we can get some to give away because they were really nice last time with two and gave us 5 copies to give away. So superb. Good pick, Righty. Good pick. Carrie, do you have a cool thing?
You know, you're probably not going to invite me on this show anymore. The heck I've got to show for you today.
Who will we take the piss out of then?
Well, that's true. You have to have me back. The thing, can you see this at all?
If you hold it still, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Can't you just move your head along?
Can't you just focus your camera? I mean, what is it? Just tell
there's
us.
Like a, there's a delay. It's a handcuff key.
All right, okay. And yeah, you would have those. This isn't going anywhere that? We don't want to go, is it?
Well, like, it's not intended for that. But the interesting thing is handcuffs really don't have very complicated key system anywhere in the world. They all are pretty much the same. And when people are kidnapped or held captive in a foreign country, having one of these with you could save your life. Now, it's not intended to, nor is it recommended that if the police arrest you that you would use this to uncuff yourself, but you could.
That would be
bad. Saying. And it's amazingly tiny. They're very inexpensive. And it could save your life.
Now, you've got this thing that allegedly can undo cuffs, but does it actually undo cuffs?
Yeah, that's totally a handcuff key. Yes. Absolutely.
Jeff, it absolutely. Jeff, handcuffs aren't that complicated. See, the keys mechanism and handcuffs are all the same for all handcuffs around the world.
Oh, right. Okay. So, I mean, we were expecting Jeff to come in there as our S&M expert, and actually he's coming in as an ex-police officer who knows that they're all the same. I just want to clarify that point. And
but,
he's an S&M expert.
If people want to mix it up and think other things about why we'd know about handcuff keys,
call 1-900 Jeff.
So here's the thing. It's got a little clip on it, so it's meant to fit on the belt loop of your pants.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So it's not in your pockets. In other words, if you're being frisked or anything like that, no one would know to look there.
Well, you could put that somewhere fairly private as well and get it out when you need it.
Maybe I already did.
Well,
you know, okay, if you're going to do that, you need to have two. One that you can get at if you're handcuffed with your hands in front, and one if you're cuffed with your hands behind. So just get two.
Now, proceed.
Well, they sell them in packages of two.
Oh, well, that's perfect for that very purpose. Jeff, just go us through the procedure very briefly here of why you would have handcuffs in the front and not behind.
Because the person that handcuffed you doesn't understand that what they're doing is creating a scenario where they have not immobilized you. So they're inexperienced.
Right, so that's a complete arse then, that handcuffs in the front.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I did see in the police car in America, and not because I was in it, but I saw into the police car window, and it was interesting that the back seats actually had bits of the seat removed so that you could sit comfortably with your hands behind your back, which I thought was quite cool.
It's actually really smart because a lot of people are heavy enough that or enough overweight that they have to lean forward or lay over in an awkward position when they're cuffed. And then that creates a scenario where you could potentially have someone suffer from respiratory problems, like be able to breathe well, problems. So if you do that cutout thing, then everyone can sit up straight, and it doesn't matter how big they are, it just works. So yeah, very smart thing to do.
Bookery wants to know, does that work on pink fuzzy cuffs as well? And
yes,
it does. Thank you. That's good to know. What? How do you know that? And Saranac says, is that car seat a bit like a pile cushion? I don't think so, but okay.
No, it's not.
So just to be clear then, Carrie, your cool thing rather is the handcuff keys.
Come on. That's cool. How cool is that?
Well, brilliant. Have you got a link for where you can buy them or is it just universally available?
Well, T-I-H-K is the name of the company. I can provide you a link.
So
that's for titanium handcuff key.
It's awesome. Titanium. I just can't get over that.
Everything's got to be titanium with you.
Co.
It's a shame we haven't got...
He just said it was T-I-H-K.
It's a shame we haven't...
Yep, there you go. Inconspicuous.
You can, yeah, tiny and conspicuous handcuff key. They're available at Amazon.com.
Batwench, we are not doing that on the pinch. Not a chance. Even that's too far for the pinch. The fact that they open all handcuffs in the world, I don't feel the need to prove it, but I just, it's, I don't know, Muller in the chat room isn't in the chat room, and he was an ex-peace officer, and he could have confirmed that was the truth in the UK as well. But it's a cool pick. What's the price on those?
I think it's $12 for two of them.
Yep.
Cheap at half the price.
Yep, 12 Excellent. Bucks.
Superb. My cool thing is the Boss ME80. It looks cool for a start, and it's a guitar effects pedal. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, but we've got a new show on the network called The Guitar Show. It's done with Lee Peterson. It's now up in iTunes. It's in video version and it's in audio. And Lee's put his first lesson up this week as well, which is kind of, you know, it's a basic lesson, but it'll get you started if you're looking to start guitar. He goes through all the news and he comes up with some products, and he does a cool thing section. And I've had a word with him because I've asked him if he could make the cool things a little less cool. Because so far, I've probably run up a sizable bill in apps for iOS, because he does a section on iOS apps for guitarists. Purchase this thing, which knocked me back 215 quid, but don't tell the wife. But I'd like to say it's just a guitar effects processor, but that really just doesn't cover it, because the crap you can pull with this, with your guitar, to do, it's just amazing. So you can hit a couple of notes and it will hold those tones perfectly smoothly while you then carry on and do some riffing, or, you know, some jamming against that background chord. It's just incredible. And there's like the pedal on the right does 10 different functions. It'll do volume, it'll do wah, it'll do easing in and easing out effects, it'll do reverb, it'll change everything. And it's, there's two banks and there's four channels, and it just, the amount of effects you can pull out of this thing is just unbelievable. So there you go. It's the Boss ME80. It is absolutely amazing. Blows my mind. I've only got the manual out for half an hour, and I was already confused. But you can use the basic functions as well, so it's not too bad. Right. Excellent round of cool things there, I thought. Well done. Where can we get a hold of you, Gaz?
Get easy. Go over to gazmaz.com. Catch me on Twitter at... /Gazmaz, that's G-A-Z-M-A-Z. Anybody hearing me say that possibly knows that I refer to that name also on the mymac.com podcast, where I reside with Guy Searle.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging out at macobserver.com and freshbrewedtales.com, where I talk about the stuff I see people do in coffee shops. People do stupid stuff. And on Twitter, I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm on a bunch of podcasts too.
Where are you, sir, doctor?
You can find me at DOCROC anywhere on the interweb, on macuser.pro, and about a whole bunch of times on this network and the big, the Mac show, occasionally the Pocket show.
Excellent, mate. Righty, where are you, sir?
Paul is on Twitter, mate. British Tech Network to come and directing that there social media.
You be our man in social media.
We do be that.
Good man, good man. Doing marvels with it, absolute marvels, because our presence on Facebook has been bugger all until Righty took over, so fantastic job. And you posted the lost shows from last year when we had a bit of trouble with Google Hangouts. You've got copies of them and you put them up, so they're on the YouTube channel.
Yep, which they are indeed.
BritishTechLive@gmail.com. And lastly, but by no means least, it's the late Gary Holzman. Not dead, just late.
Yes, well, you just program your 50 caliber bullet and it'll find me. No, actually, you can find my YouTube videos at CaryHolzman.com, or just search Gary Holzman on YouTube. That's really my primary thing right now.
How to build massive PCs.
Not just building. There's reviews. There's a lot of myth busting. I'm outing a lot of scammers. And, there's a real awesome, fascinating scam going on where we can't get into it right now, but it's amazing what these, how creative these folks are. So yeah, I'm doing all that on the YouTube videos, along with, as you mentioned, how to build a computer.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget, if you come into the Bash, get yourself a Bash ticket. And if you'd like a BTN caricature, just send an email to btncaricature@gmail.com. There's links on the website and there's links on the show notes for the pages for everything. So there you go. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show as normal. Gamer Show is here on Monday, so make sure you tune in for that live at 8 p.m. with Sam Chiz and Paul Wheatley. And stick around if you want to do the pinch with us, because that's next.